This is Beth Smith. I'm going to interview Stan Provenza this morning. We're at his home on 1110 D Street in Salida. How are you doing, Stan?
Fine.
Can you tell us about your family and your life here in Salida?
Well, I was born and raised in Salida on January 7th, 1918. My father's name is Frederick Provenza. My mother's name is Mary Irene Naples Provenza. She was born in Lake City. My dad was born in Cleto, Italy. My dad died when I was 10 years old. My sister was 4 years old. Left mother with widowed. And she seemed to do an excellent job of raising both of us.
Let's go back to your father. What was his name in Italy, his family name?
Provenzano.
And
he changed it to Provenza.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah, and I think he did it for business reasons. He was a tailor, an accomplished tailor. He made a lot of clothes for different people. The railroaders were strong here at that time, and they used to make blue serge suits for the conductors and the brakemen, of course, and, of course, the firemen and engineers wore coveralls, so he was involved in that. And then my mother was just a housewife till he died, and then she started working. And she worked at various places in Salida. And she worked at Gilbert's Dress Shop at one time, and then she worked at the bakery when it was under Mr. Chilius down there. And then my dad had the tailor shop until I was 10 years old. And also, mother did work at Alexander Drugstore for a number of years with Jack Long and Catherine Long. And so she was able to keep groceries on the table. And when I first got out of high school, which was in 1936, I went to work in 37 for Ben's Grocery, which Noble recommended to his dad that I go to work for him because he was going to college. He went to DU in Denver. And so I was there for 3 years until I went to college down at Colorado College.
What was the name of that grocery again?
Ben's Grocery. Uh-huh. And then after about 3 years there, a friend of mine, George Cabari, talked me into going back to school, and I went to Colorado College where he was. And ironically, when I first graduated from high school, I went to Regis College in Denver, and I was able to spend one day there, and I ended up with typhoid pneumonia and had to come home and was in the hospital for about 30 days. Dr. Fuller was my doctor at that time, and why I lived, I have no idea, but I'm still here.
Good for you.
Yeah. But
so you went back to Colorado College.
Uh-huh, yes. My friend George Cabari talked me into going. I think he was a sophomore or junior at that time. And he got me started down there. So I went for 1 year and then went down to Pueblo to attend business college, thinking that I could get back and get a little job on the side rather than working for just my meals with no money involved. So in the meantime, I went to see the war hadn't started, but they were starting the draft, and I decided at that time to enlist, which was in October of 40. And they decided at that time that I wasn't tall enough to enter the service. So,
weren't you lucky?
Yeah. So I went back in February, and he said, well, I think I'll let you in February of 1941, 15th of the month. And then I went down and got my basic training in at Kelly Field, which is out of San Antonio. That was the original Air Corps base at that time. they hadn't changed the name of the Air Force. So I was in the Air Corps for all the time that I was in service. I was in just 2 months shy of 5 years. Spent most of my time in the Mojave Desert. We had what we called a basic training field, and I was worked in the Air Corps Technical Command, which was we kept track of all the flights and the maintenance on the aircraft. And so outside being hot weather, I had pretty good duty. I never did get overseas, but I did enjoyed it after I was in a while. I met some real great people and at that time, and they were people that had been educated in college, a lot of them, and some of them were mechanics, real accomplished mechanics at for the aircraft, you know. We had to keep them flying.
So you were in the service then about 5 years?
Almost 5 years, two years, or 2 months shy of 5 years.
Uh-huh. And then you came back to Salida?
No, I came back to Salida, and then Noble Benz, my best friend, and his wife, and myself, went down to Old Mexico after being discharged and spent 28 days down there touring the country, having a wonderful time seeing all the various sites in Old Mexico. It was quite an education, really, to have gone to all the various places in Old Mexico. Mexico City was very colorful, a lot of flowers. There were people selling flowers on the streets all the time, and they said it was an insult to buy flowers for the Mexican people down there because they were so cheap. But we thought it was quite a thrill to give Anna a bouquet of flowers about every day.
Well, yes.
And Mexico City, we went through the Xochimilco Gardens, which was really colorful. They had, we were on a little canoe type thing with a built enclosure, and the ours was the Santa Maria. And as we were traveling along, the people that played the guitars and various instruments would come along and give them a dollar or so, and they'd play music for you.
That's like fun.
Uh-huh. Then we did fly to Acapulco from Mexico City, went to see Taos, where they make all the silver ornaments and face masks and everything like that. And so that was quite a education. Went to Guadalajara, Monterrey, and
good.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to go back to work sooner or later.
Yeah. Well, then when I came back, I went back to college, Colorado College, and finished up, started in, let's see, I went, got back in, it was 46, and then I kept going to school around the clock. I didn't take breaks in the summer. But I had the GI Bill at that time, which is a break, and finished up in 49. And after that, I went to work for Metropolitan.
Metropolitan.
A life insurance company.
In Colorado Springs.
And then I left them after about 2 years, and went to work at Air Force Base. With my background, I was able to get there.
Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
Too.
And then in the meantime, Bob Farrell, which is Jane's husband.
Now, Jane was your sister. I don't think we introduced her yet.
Yeah, Jane was my sister. And he says, I've talked to Chuck Furphy, who runs the Coke plant, and he said that they need someone to come up and be office manager and take care of their books. And he says, would you consider it? So I came up one weekend and talked with Mrs. Egan, who was the owner of the plant, and Charles Furphy was the manager. It was just her son-in-law, really, because he was married to Evelyn, her daughter, which is Evelyn Egan. And then I thought it'd be a good deal. Jean was kind of reluctant at first, but after she got here, she really got to be acquainted and did a lot of things in Slida. And
when were you two married?
When were we married? Mm-hmm. We were married in, June the 5th, 1948. Yeah, June 5th, 1948. Mm-hmm. And then we were down there for about a year before we moved up here. We moved back up here in 1951.
Yeah.
And and I worked the coke plant for almost 8 years, and then I went to work for Martin Company down in Colorado Springs after they sold the plant. And did I say Colorado Springs? Mm-hmm. I should correct that. It was in Denver. Martin Company was Martin Marietta at the time.
Oh, okay.
And so it's Lockheed Martin now, I think. And so after that, I had an opportunity after the first of the year. It was ironic that Paula was born December the 28th in 1960, and I was not here to witness the birth, so Gene never forgave me for that. I says, well, President Kennedy was gone when their baby was born, so I says, I think that was a good excuse. But anyway, Mr. Pierce, who had retired from the Department of Revenue, knew me from my paying tax for the Coca-Cola plant many times, and he had retired from the Department of Revenue and decided that he wanted to work for a while to get his Social Security, and then he put in enough quarters for his Social Security, and he asked me if I would want to take over his accounts. So I considered it, and he worked with me for 2 years, and then I was able to go ahead and take over the business, and then went for business myself. And then I had some accounts on the side, bookkeeping accounts, and so I was able to maintain the family through the years. And then after 1 year, I was able to take over the St. Joseph Credit Union.
Which that was what year?
In 1961.
Uh-huh.
And it was just shortly after I'd moved here. And Charles Tirano was haphazardly trying to run it with his bandbox cleaning, and he said, would you want to take that over? So I took it over when it was just barely started. I think they started in May of the prior year, and I took it over in January March of 1961.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you have it?
I had it from 1961 to 1992.
That's a while.
Uh-huh.
And you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still there. Yeah.
What are you doing now?
Well, I'm on the board. I'm a treasurer of the board at this point, but about at the end of my rope, I think.
I saw your picture in the paper a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yes.
About getting an award from me.
Yeah, that was quite a thrill, and it was written impromptu, and I didn't know it was going to happen. And
who was giving you the award?
The Credit Union League Office presented awards to several people that evening. Mm-hmm. League office in Denver, which presented all these awards. So,
well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was real nice.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of ironic, too. One of the ladies from our chapter here in the Valley got an award. She'd been with the credit union for, I think she said, about 30 years.
Who was that?
I believe her name was Donna Martinez, I think. I'm not real certain, but I think that was her name. So it was a thrill for her, too. So.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you brought your family back to Salida and
mm-hmm.
started working with the on your own.
Right, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Business for myself. And I should go back two ways. I went through high school here, entered high school in 32 and graduated in 36. And at that time, we fortunately had a coach that had graduated from Northwestern, and he was a product of Idaho, born in Idaho.
And who was that?
Coach White, Harold White, Coach Harold A. White. And he, ironically, he was at the same college that Fred is teaching now.
And where's that?
At Romney Field up there, and Romney. And the coach that was coaching was named Romney at that time. And that's where Coach White got some experience in coaching.
That's at Utah State?
Utah State University. And then he came back. Well, he coached before, and then he came to Slida in 1931, I think. In 32, he had already won the South Central League. In 33, 34, and 35, he won the state championship for 3 years in a row.
And how did you help him?
Well, I was on the team. I was I played halfback at the time, then played quarterback. So I was rather small, but he tried to talk me out of it, but I wanted to play. So he thought, if you're going to play, go ahead and play.
Well, you must have been a good player if you got that far in the state.
But anyway, we'd won the state 3 times, and we were playing everybody at that time. There was no classification. There was only a B and an A, and we were in the A. Ours was the South Central League. Played Colorado Springs, Canyon City, 2 Pueblo teams, Central and Centennial, and we played Trinidad. And then in the finals, we played such teams as Ray, Colorado, Loveland, and Grand Junction. So they were all big-time teams. I remember beating Denver the year we went up. Had beat the last year that I was in high school. We beat them 25-0. And we'd scored 254 points to our opponents 25 that year.
Wow.
It was quite a thrill to be on that kind of a team.
Yeah, how did you get to all these games?
Well, fortunately, it was some of it by car, and the railroad was really good to us at that time. They spent specials, and the whole town would get on the train and go on the special train to these various places. Pueblo a few times, Canyon. But a lot of the personnel, the wives, would drive us to some of the games, you know.
Yeah, just like they do now.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're at Grand Junction, of course. We had to take the train there. And Denver, we had to take the train. But that was real funny. After that last season, Coach White, of course, I think they travel more than that today, but we traveled 2,500 miles that year. And he said, after the season was over, he says, "You people are nothing but a bunch of tourists."
Well, you saw the state, didn't you?
Sure did, yeah. Yeah.
Who was the superintendent of schools?
Superintendent of schools at that time was Hightower. Uh-huh. And he had an affliction. He was kind of crippled, but he was a superintendent all through high school. And then L.A. Barrett was our principal at that time. And after we graduated a year or so, I think Hightower retired, and Barrett became the superintendent of schools. So, yeah.
What did you do in high school besides play football?
Well, I took college prep courses. So I took all the courses I needed to be able to go to college. And of my family, I was the only one that had graduated. All the rest of my people hadn't been able to graduate.
From high school?
From high school. They went to grades most times.
Yeah.
But they were very adept. My mother was real sharp. She only went to the 4th grade, but I think she knew a lot more than I did after I got out of college.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but she'd read the Denver Post, I remember, from cover to cover almost all the time. Mm-hmm. So.
What grade school did you go to?
I went to St. Joseph Catholic School for 8 years. And I think they started the school in 1921, and I entered in 24, with 1924, which was the about the third class that gone through St. Joseph. And I went for all 8 grades there, and then went into high school after in the ninth grade, my freshman year.
About how many kids did they have at St. Joseph's
school? At that time, it's the school's. Do you know where the Grange building is? That was a Catholic school at that time.
Oh, I see.
We had 8 grades. They had 2 grades in each room, 4 rooms. And I remember Sister Mary at that time was our principal. But it gave us a lot of basic group background to be able to handle high school. So.
You bet. Uh-huh. About when did they build the school down there by the Catholic Church?
I think that was built in 1952, I think. I'm not real certain on that, but they had a drive. Father Gallagher was here at the time, and he got it started. And then the Grange had picked up the building and transported it up on the mesa where it is right now.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. But and then the school used to sit on where the parking area is now at the Catholic Church there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Catholic Church was built around 1910, the new church, because they used to have church in the old school, mm-hmm. the school building. It's our Catholic Church mm-hmm. at one time, mm-hmm. and Father Gallagher got the idea that we better have a new school, which at that time we were full. Father Gallagher, well, and then before him, Father Gillick was the pastor, and they used to have to turn children away. We had about 180 children there, and that was about the capacity. Mm-hmm. And then we used to have to turn children away there. And then it got to the point where they couldn't afford it, really. That's why they discontinued it. That was the tuition would have been absorbent for a lot of people to be able to handle it, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But Jane and myself both went through Catholic school here, and then she graduated in 1942. Let's see, 42, I think it was. She was 6 years difference between me and herself, so that would have been right from 36 to 42.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you were not here during the war. You don't know what Salida acted like during that time.
Well, yes, I came home on a few furloughs. Mother said they got by pretty well on the food stamps, and you know they had their ration. And she was able to get by real well with, and she had family living with her. My grandmother and my uncles and aunts lived with us, so that was kind of a break for my mother, which Ernest, my one uncle, was became a tailor, and then he moved to Colorado Springs while we were still down there. And then Uncle George, my uncle, was a railroader. He was a brakeman on the railroad. And, of course, Mother worked at various places, and then she sold Avon for a while. So, and then my grandmother, ironically, she said, I want to live to see someone of my family graduate from high school. And I graduated in 36, and May 25th, and she died in August of 36.
Mm-hmm. So she got her wish anyway, didn't she?
Yeah.
Good.
She quite a lady, and she's a tiny lady. Her husband died when he was real young, 42. He had minor's lung disease, you know.
Yeah.
And I think he was 42 when he died. Pete was his name.
What was he mining?
He was mining in Lake City. They were, I think that was a combination of ores, gold and silver and that sort of thing, copper and zinc. But then they moved to Salida, and he died when Mother was 10 years old. And my grandmother's left with all five children. It's quite a chore for her, too.
Yes, at that time. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why the children had to drop out of school. They just couldn't afford to go. And mother worked at a candy kitchen, Lewis Candy Kitchen, for several years when she was a young lady. Learned how to make all kinds of candy. She was a real good candy baker, I remember. Fudge and divinity and all the various kinds. So, but that is kind of the background of the family. Then Teresa married a railroader who worked on the... And then Ethel married Nick Kesserich, Millen Kesserich's a sibling of that family. Millen and John, I don't even remember John or not.
I don't remember John.
But he's in Bozeman. He was at the dinner.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. He was sitting at the very far end of the
table. I didn't know all those people.
Yeah, I know you didn't. Yeah, I should.
But yeah. Well, is there anything especially about the town, that organization? Now, you told us about the church. Any other organizations you were in?
Well, I should go back a ways. I do remember the time the town was real thriving all through the war, and even though there was a depression, it seemed like they seemed to get along. What happened is the engineers came in here and they built the highway over Monarch, and they improved the highway from Canyon City to here, 50. And I was here working at the grocery store for a while all those engineers were here, which was kind of a plus for the area. Mm-hmm. Then the CC clamps and the and WPA were all instrumental in kind of boosting the town too. They built a swimming pool and a golf club, the WPA did. And they had an awful lot of clothing stores in Slida when I was growing up, and even during the time that I was gone. They had Murdoch's and Dufton's and Cruz Bags and McDonald's. So it was a clothing store at that time where the old public service building used to be, where there's an antique place there now. And so the town complemented the railroad and the mines around here. There was a lot of farming too at the time here in Slide. I remember when I was working at Ben's Grocery, a lot of the farmers would come in with their different vegetables and things they had grown and traded off on groceries, I think, lots of times, you know. But there was a lot of farming around here. We had lettuce sheds at one time, and we grew an awful lot of lettuce here in Buena Vista. And they used to crate all the lettuce in crates and put them on freight cars and ship them out of here. And the lettuce sheds were about where the trail is now, where the trail is off of behind Safeway there.
So they could load them up on the train.
Yeah, that's correct.
How'd they keep them cool?
Well, they iced them with ice. We had an ice house here in Slida, and they sold an awful lot of ice to various places here in Slida. The ice house was out there on Highway 50, almost where High Country Bank is now, I think. But Slida was, even though it was depression, it seemed like we were able to survive pretty well. So...
Was there ever a Ku Klux Klan in Salida?
There was a Ku Klux Klan. Sure enough, they were real strong. I remember when I was a small boy, they would parade up and down the street in their their clothes, whatever they wore, over all with the masks on, you know. And they would go up tenderfoot and they'd burn the cross quite often. In fact, I remember sitting on the porch with my neighbor next door, George Smith, and we'd be sitting there and say, well, they're burning the cross now. And it was right about where the S is. So they were pretty strong here at one time. And there was kind of a conflict at one time with the Knights Columbus and them, and I think the Knights had some pretty tough guys, and I think that kind of simmered them down a little bit.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What was their main idea? What were they trying to get across?
Well, they were against the colored people and the Catholics and the Italians and the Slovaks and anybody that was against them, I think, Irish also. But the town was kind of divided at that time. We had the west side, which was the west side of F Street, and the east side, which was the east side of Slida. And I remember as a young boy that they had two baseball teams, the east side and the west side.
Oh.
And they would play each other. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, and I was exposed to a lot of things. They used to have the House of David, which were the bearded baseball players would travel the country, and they'd come to Slida and play the team. And then they called the White Elephants, which is the colored teams. Of course, they didn't make the big leagues. Of course, they wouldn't let colored people in at that time. You know how that was. And they used to put on a show for us. They were really, really good. And Babe Zaharis Dickerson came through here with the White Elephants, and she played right field. I'll never forget. She played golf, you know. She's quite a golf player. And she looked more like a man, and she played like a man, too. She was a real good ball player. And actually, they and the White Elephants, I'll never forget, played the local team that one night. We're out there, and so the White Elephants, they were playing the Slida team, and they called everybody in, and just the pitcher and catcher were there, and he struck out everybody.
Who was that pitcher, you know?
I don't remember who the pitcher was, but I know he was a colored man.
Did you play baseball as well as football?
Well, I played, we didn't play baseball at the time. I played softball, uh-huh. which was fast pitch. Uh-huh. I played that, and then at Colorado College, I played for the fraternity down there, which is the Kappa Sig, and we won the championship down there that year. So, and ironically, I was playing against one of my old teammates, was Al Ritchie, and he was pitching against us, and I kind of knew his weakness, and after a while, I butted him several times, and he said... He said, "Gosh darn you, Provence."
You knew him too well.
Yeah, knew him too well, yeah. Good guy, though. We had a lot of fun. Uh-huh. Yeah. He was with the Independents, and I happened to join a fraternity, which was great at that time because I got my meals for $30 a month.
Wow.
At that time. Mm-hmm. And we had our dinner and our lunch meal. We didn't have breakfast, but... dinner, we had to dress formal all the time. But we had a little German lady was named Cookie. We called her Cookie. And Haynes was her last name. And then Mother Ha was our house mother.
You lived in the frat house?
No, I didn't live in the frat house. I opted out of that. I didn't want to get involved with fraternities that way. Yeah. So... And going back to, I should have interrated, it's a little bit late, but I was president of my senior class at high school here, and had offices, treasurer 1 year and secretary another year in the lower grades. So I was an officer, not paid though.
No, of course, they're not paid. Well, there's been reunions almost every year, and you've been at the head of that most of the time.
Well, we had our class of 36 in 1965. We started our reunions, and we had them every 5 years and up until 2000. Every 5 years we would have a reunion, and pretty much all the class would come. And, of course, as we got older and people started passing away, well, that kind of put the caddis to it. We don't know whether we'll have it this year. I doubt it because I think there's only half a dozen of us left or so, and some of them are not capable of being able to travel either, you know. So yeah. Goes by the wayside, but it was a lot of thrill to see all those people.
Yeah. Learn a lot about them.
Mm-hmm. We had, our class was kind of a talented class. We had four doctors come out. Dr. Larmer, which is a doctor here. His son became a doctor, went to Northwestern. Ed Bresnahan became a veterinarian. Leo Snyder became a dentist. And Homer Cowan became an ophthalmologist, the eye doctor. And
these were all in your class.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And we had, it was only 57 in our class when we graduated. Started with around 100 and some, but depression years just took people out of here. Mm-hmm. So, but we had a small class, but they were very close.
Well, and they kept close after they got out of school.
Yeah, we sure did. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were so close knit, they just couldn't wait to get back to a reunion here every 5 years.
Oh, good.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about the flu epidemic back in?
No, I was born at that time, uh-huh. And mother, fortunately, none of the family came down with the flu, but she knew a lot of people that passed away with the flu. In 1918,
yeah.
It was pretty prominent here. In fact, there was a lot of quarantine at that time, you know. But Mother remembers a lot of the people that had died from it.
Yeah.
It was all over the country, wasn't it?
I bet it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it seems like SLIDA has changed its appearance in the last 10 years or 12, I don't know, but we don't have the stores and the places we used to have, individual owners of various little stores, grocery stores and whatnot. Safeway and Walmart has taken over the show, I think.
Right, or else run down to Colorado Springs and buy a dress or whatever.
That's right. Now we can't buy any men's clothes here at all to speak of.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad for us. I wished we could get something in here, but
all in the name of progress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have a lot of the arts here anymore. We've got to be more like an Aspen town than just a small town community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Certainly different.
Yeah.
Maybe we're not so needy to earn a living now. We can spend a little time on arts and buy some
mm-hmm.
things like that mm-hmm. for our house.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, I think they do pretty well. I don't know for sure, but I think some of them do pretty well.
Some of them are very interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. But so there's been an awful lot of change in the last 60, 70 years in SLIDA, I guess, whatever you want to hear. I think SLIDA was formed in 1886, wasn't it?
About that.
Mm-hmm. And railroad started, really, the railroad started down at Wellsville. That's where they, in Howard, you know, that's where they started to set up the railroad, and then they moved up in the Clear area, you know, and that then they moved it up here to center town.
And that was where SLIDA was,
yes,
in the Clear area.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, so, yeah, the SLIDA is a little bit lopsided as far as east and west and north and south goes, because the railroad changed the appearance of the town when they formed it, because then all the businesses moved in that direction to
come. Can't blame them?
No, yeah. That's right.
For the business.
For the business, right, that's right.
Yeah,
yeah, guys. It, but it's a good little town. I know I raised all my children here. I was happy for that. Fred was the only one that was born in Colorado Springs when we were still living there. Mm-hmm. And he's married to your wonderful daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Have two bright children, I think.
Yeah. Anything else?
Not that I can think of, Beth.
All right.
You think
we've
done it good again?
Well, yeah. I think you did a good job.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.